Hello, everybody. Hi, welcome to the 11th day of June, and welcome to our wonderful teleconference. I am so excited to be here with you. Donna happens to be in the other room. I would invite her into this room, but it's just awful when we're together. She makes faces at me and all that. So I've sentenced her to the other room. Actually, that's not true. She is in the other room, but not for those reasons. Anyway, hello and welcome. I am so thrilled. This is Bill Bauman, in case you hadn't guessed. And I really want to thank you for being here. Thank you for prioritizing this moment. Thank you for pulling yourself away from all the other commitments and preoccupations of your life. And thank you for opening yourself to what I really, really feel like calling this very, very sacred hour. If I may just say something about that before I do my ridiculous introductory remarks, I really consider this a truly sacred hour. So just in the past couple of hours, especially as I've been preparing for it, the image that kept floating through my mind and, in fact, installing itself front and center in our mind, which seems to be a big theme for this evening especially, is sacredness. To me, this is like sitting in the middle of a sacred temple or one of those world sacred sites and just drinking in the blessings, the gifts. So I feel like this is a where we sit in a sacred space, we open to divine blessings, we just let ourselves get deepened, expanded, opened, and all of that. And mainly all we do is we just, while I blab away and talk away for the most part, we just open ourselves. We just open our hearts, open our minds, open our bodies, open our everything that is who we are. And as a good old John Daly says in The Daily Show right at the beginning, he always says, man, have we got a great show for you tonight. Well, sure, I'll say that. Why not? I mean, if he can say it, I can say it, and you can say it. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Tidbits of trivia. Are you ready for tidbits of trivia? Do you know what today is, what it happens to be? It happens to be in Hawaii, Kamehameha Day, which, as you all know, I'm sure, honors Kamehameha the Great, who, a great man, established the unified kingdom of Hawaii. Speaking of which, Adrian, who lives in Hawaii, and I know a few other of you who are here live in Hawaii, but Adrian, who lives there, wrote me an email earlier saying she could not be with us in person, but please, please, please say hello to all of us from her, and big, big, big hug from Adrian. So thank you, Adrian. I want next to thank the amazing Donna, who is locked into her office just a little bit away from me, for these beautiful photos. We actually get quite a bit of feedback from people, a lot through emails, who really thank her and say they just look forward every month to just drinking in the beauty of and, frankly, the inspiration of those photos. So I have a question to Donna, locked in your office. Would you like to say hi to us?
Sure. Hello, everyone, and welcome. It's here in Las Vegas. We're having this beautiful, beautiful weather, cool for Las Vegas, it has been, and just a beautiful time of rebirth in all the flowers and trees and birds. And so I'm so happy to be part with you tonight and invite you, instead of those of you who are on the computer, instead of some of the paintings and the women, I've just gone out to nature and inspiring photos that have come my way. So I'll be sharing those with you as Bill is talking. But to everyone, big hello.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much, Donna. Wowzers. And, hey, I've got, if I can figure out how to do it here, I've got a great idea. How about if we all say hello to each other, those of us who are on the phone, and if you're on the web, please say hello anyway, even though Auditorially, we can't hear you. Vibrationally, energetically, spiritually, soulfully, we absolutely can hear you. And for those of you who have joined us later, as many of you do, even though you may not be here live in this moment, in a beyond time and space mode, you are absolutely right here in this very second. So let me push what I think is the right button, and I'll say, hi there, hello.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Barry.
Hi, everyone.
Hi,
Donna.
Hi. Wow. Thank you. Whoa, we did it. That was marvelous. Thank you. I tell you, that's an amazing little thing. I just, Val, that hello, I just feel you filling my whole heart, my whole being. And it's just too good. So speaking of having a great show for you tonight, I truly don't look at this as a show, but here's the title that came to me. It's just the most amazing thing. Your right to create your destiny. So just before I even open my big mouth about any aspect of that, I want to, first of all, by way of adorable introduction, say that did you know that on this very day, the 11th day of June, in 1963, John F. Kennedy proposed the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The only reason I bring that up, I know you're saying, how does he know these things? Oh, it's just amazing. It's just too much. It's a gift. I can't tell. Besides that, I look it all up. So, the reason I'm bringing that up is the Civil Rights Act, and we're talking about our right. One of our rights, and this is a right to create our destiny. I thought it was really a great shift. So the next thing I want to say is I feel like some things I may say when I get into this might stretch us a bit, and I'm really not about stretching your concepts. I mean, I really just want to say that. This is not primarily, this hour every month is not primarily a conceptual activity. It's not an intellectual exercise. It's not primarily for our mental understanding. Yes, all of that happens, but this is really about each of us in our depths just opening up to blessings and opening up to whatever through the concepts as background music wants to invite us into, like in this instance, our bigger self and our grander self and our expansive self and our deepest self, and so that we wind up being more and more every month, just so much more of who we are. So your right to create your destiny, and again, be with this in your heart, please, much more than your mind. Now that I say that, I'm going to start with talking about philosophies. What's with that, Bill, really? So there are lots of philosophies, lots of teachings that tell us things like we're masters of our destiny, captains of our ship, in charge of our lives. We hear it not all the time by any means, and there's certainly a lot on the other side of that equation that we hear. But we hear it in the law of attraction. We hear it in and through our fascination with the whole concept of free will, that like, gee, each of us has free will, to whatever degree that's true, and to just many other approaches, teachings that tell us that we have, and I want to pick out a couple of words, we have the right, and that seems to be the big word for the evening in a sense. We have the right, and we have the power, and we have the authority, and we have the permission, just picking out these words, right, power, authority, permission, to take total charge of ourselves, our lives, our persons, our minds, our hearts, our emotions, our energies, our bodies, our destiny, our everything. So it's just let those words, or let whatever those words seem to invite, kind of sink in, if you will. Don't debate them so much in your mind, if you would, because the mind will always go to both sides of that debate. So just kind of let your heart kind of take those words in, and just let your heart start to invite you into whatever your right is in relation to yourself, in relation to your world, in relation to your life, in relation to your precious, precious body, in relation to your beautiful emotions and energies and life force and vibratory resonance, in relation to your mind, in relation to the self, the identity of who you are, in relation to everything deep, 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 deep in you that goes beyond all words. You have the right, whoever you are, whatever you are, you have the right to create the destiny of every facet of you. Wow. And I'm feeling, just as we say that, I'm feeling that. And so my own sense is that these teachings are actually absolutely true, that they're true, that in fact it's the very nature of creation itself, at least as I see it, to be some blend of its own destiny, creation's own destiny, and the nature of creation to put each of us in charge of our own destiny, or to have that bigger destiny of creation kind of manifest in us with creation determining that overall destiny, and each of us determining our individualized destiny. And in short, I think that means, and I'm going to add another term, that you and I are, each of us is the God or the goddess of our person, of our life, of our being, of our presence. I'm going to repeat that, if I may. Each of us is the God or goddess or God, of who we are, of this space that we live in, of this sort of arm's length out from us, this auric field, if you will, in which we live, of this beautiful presence that happens to be gracing the earth. So we are that presence that A, is put here, and B, has put ourselves here. We're that amazing, powerful, giving, loving, nurturing, empowering, awakening gift to the world that has been sent here and has sent ourselves here. And you notice what I'm implying in those words, that we are both the receivers and the creators. We are both the creations and the very source of that creation at the same time. Well, how does that work? How does that work? How do we step fully into that God, into that goddess nature role? How do we own this mantle of authority? How do we step not just into the created one, but the creator, creatress itself that we are, and own that mantle of authority to create our lives, to create our experiences, even to create our internal reactions to what's going on? How does that work? So I'd like to use our time together, again, not primarily intellectually, though some of what I've got to say, because it's sort of a philosophical construct, is going to sound very intellectual. Excuse me, but again, just know that in this entire sharing, this time together, it's really not about answering any philosophical question. It's really not about even calling yourself to own your right and your authority with some great act of superhuman oomph and drive and power. It's really not about that. That's a little too aggressive, in a sense, a little too, I don't want to say proactive, but a little too humanly self-centered, if you will. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to share five different thoughts, five maybe themes that just over the past couple of hours as I've sat here that have just come to me, if you will. And with each of these, again, just let your own heart, your own soul, your own all-knowing self, the God or goddess that you are, just let that you invite you. Notice the inner movement, more than the conceptual movement. And just let grace, the grace that knows the truth, that you and I have the right to create, take over. So the first theme I'd like, which is kind of a funny place to start, really, is I'd like to acknowledge the other side of the coin. I'd like to acknowledge, just for the record and just to honor it, I'd like to acknowledge how we so often don't feel in charge of ourselves, in charge of our destiny, in charge of our anything big, if you will. Yes, we have a little success here or there, but we have failures, whatever those two words mean. So, for example, we oftentimes have to work hard to overcome or move beyond or heal, like our childhood wounds or traumas or our self-defeating patterns or the tendency we have to worry or fears we have, or maybe more pointedly, we often have a hard time moving beyond those ways that we literally don't feel like we're in charge, and especially in charge of some aspect of ourselves, like whether that's your body, your body's health or symptoms, whether it's your mind's preoccupations or obsessions, whether it's what else, your emotions, particular kinds of feelings, whether sadness, emptiness, aloneness, lostness, depression, just to come up with a few. So I want to acknowledge that, just to honor any facet of who we are that may have forgotten. And that probably because we all hang out in a human field, that probably has forgotten. I want to thank every aspect of us for even if we're hanging out in the struggle mode, for hanging in there, if you will, just for continuing to put one foot in front of the other, to that deeper truth that seems to never stop saying, keep moving, keep opening, because you are so much more than what you know yourself to be. So I acknowledge us, I acknowledge you and me and maybe most of the world, because these factors are influences that leave us feeling, I don't know, anywhere from disempowered to unpermissioned or even unable to, like, ideally snap our fingers and maybe create our lives in some genie-like fashion. So the first of my five themes is I'm inviting each of us to feel great empathy and sympathy. Maybe sympathy isn't the word. Just deep levels of compassion and forgiveness for ways that we play small, ways that we've forgotten who we really are, ways that we've just sort of stepped aside from that deeper awareness, that deeper energy that embraces that right to create. So that's my first theme. As a second theme, how do I want to say this? I think I mentioned that we sometimes play small. And just as, if I've hung out around the world with enough people, I probably, like you, have found that often the reason we don't create or feel like we can't create is because we are playing too small. We perceive ourselves as itsy-bitsy little human beings, dealing with a small deck of cards, living as a created one instead of a creator, creatress one, and therefore feeling like we're here to sort of follow laws and rules and the laws of nature, the way a lot of times we try to describe those. And so just to say that another way, sometimes a creation, to create ourselves anew, to look at something that's kind of been a theme and then move beyond that to creating a whole different something where that theme was. If it takes, this may not be the way to say it, if it takes an act of God or goddess or an act of divine authority to bring about that kind of change in our lives, well, it's hard to pull that off if we've not yet owned our own divinity, owned our divine nature, owned our divine authority, or fully embraced the truth that we are the goddess, we are the god of our lives. And I know that can sound really simplistic, it can sound kind of generalized, But if we just go to that kind of ancient truth that's true in a lot of Eastern religions and spiritualities and philosophies, that, wow, our central nature is we are divine. That old statement that gets translated into English as, all there is God, and everything else is a story. All there is God. I remember the first sermon I ever gave it was a Unity church, actually, and then I shifted over to the Religious Science Church and gave the same sermon because I figured, hey, that's easy. I already got it down. But the sermon was all about all there is God. And that includes me, that includes you, that includes us. So in truth, the bigger truth, the real truth of all of creation is that whatever is God, goddess, whatever is divine, masculine, feminine, neutral, whatever it is, it splashed itself out. And it truly wants every facet of life to experience its divinity in fullness. And that includes the aspect of the creative quality of divinity. So, in that sense, this level of ownership, this leap into really being that divine, that source, that power, that authority, and giving ourselves the right, back to the right, the Bill of Rights, the civil rights, the personal rights, giving ourselves the right, or accepting the right that's already given to us as a function of our very birth into human form, at least, our right to be the creator, to be an amazing creator. So it requires, in a sense, a leap. And I think we're here today just for that leap. And again, we're not here for us to push ourselves to the leap. We're not here to stand at the edge of a cliff and leap over necessarily in some huge act of bravery. But we're here very simply, very quietly, just to let the leap happen. Let the leap happen without effort. Because to be divine, we can push it and push ourselves to it to a degree, but we usually wind up hitting a glass ceiling. And to move through the glass ceiling, it's most important to just let go. Just let go and let's call it grace. So what about you? What about you as you look at yourself? What leap seems to be invited? What quality of your rights? What space of authority just happens to be saying, hey, do me. So just to throw a few examples out, sometimes it's important to leap, and we're about leaping here, from what I tend to call our lower self, our small self, where we play small, to our higher self. And for example, a lot of times I'll be talking to people and they'll say, well, my higher self is telling me this. Or my higher consciousness is whatever. And sometimes, if it feels appropriate, I hear myself saying, you know, what if you were that higher self? What if instead of this kind of dualistic sense of separation where you're being guided from above by that higher self, what if you would step up into that higher self? And what if you would invite yourself to be that and know that you already are that? Now, I don't say that to everybody because that's, again, that's a leap. It's a big step, and some, you know, can feel a bit like heresy to some people. Or just to say it using another word, that there's sometimes a leap that's really inviting us from receiving grace to being grace. You notice how I usually invite this monthly sacred time. It's a place to just receive grace, and that's a beautiful thing. But gee, what if I just change the words? What if we say it's a space, a time, a sacred space in which we just step into the grace that we are, and we see the grace not just as up there, but as living in our heart, or living in our body, or living in our psyche, or living in our mind, or living in our auric energetic space, or just living maybe not even in a space, but just here. Here, it's me, it's us. So in that sense, I am that higher self. I am that grace. But just to say that, even without those words, sometimes it's important to take that leap from being led, being inspired, being guided, whether by higher self, whether by grace, whether by the divine, whether by our own soul, whether by inspiration and wisdom, just to use words, being led, leaping from being led to leading ourselves. Wow. Do you have the right to lead yourself? Can you trust that creator, creatress that you are, that inspirer, that wise being that you are? Of course, I'm implying yes. Yes, you can. And so if there's a way you feel like you can't, maybe the invitation here right now from that you that you are, that you that maybe you haven't fully embraced, opened yourself to knowing that you're that yet. Maybe that's saying, hey, what about me? Be me. Or then one final example. Maybe it's important to leap from some self-concept, like I'm a human. And of course, we are all human in some way, to a self-concept of I'm divine, or I'm a being of light, or I am infinity itself, or I am more concretized, I am a miracle worker, or whatever else it may be. Just it's a question of who am I? What is my concept of myself? So these are just some examples of how something in your deepest core may right now be saying, are you playing too small? Are you not yet owning your bigger right, your true right to be in charge of, to be a creator of, to be a chooser of, to be every aspect of yourself? So that's my second theme, second series of thoughts. Let's just let that digest just a little bit. And notice, if you will, notice what's stirring inside. What picture of yourself, or sense of yourself, or feeling about yourself as much bigger than what just on a daily routine you picture yourself being? What picture is emerging right now? What sense, what feel, what notion of you that you would look at and say, oh, wow, that's me? Even if I've known that, it's like, oh, yeah, that's calling me right now. Oh, my. Yeah, so while that's there, and again, feel free to stay there with that as I hang out with a third theme, which kind of picks right up with that whole who am I thing. Really, I think that's the question. Who am I really? If I really put me under a microscope, am I, just to use a word, am I a struggling human being still trying to prove himself, herself, prove myself that I'm worthy of being more? That if I, because most of us, we put ourselves through enormous tests and we have to pass those tests, and most of them are subliminal, subconscious tests. But the very fact that we put ourselves through them really means that the setup is that we at best partially pass the test, because it's primed and set up to start with that we don't fully pass them. So am I still struggling to prove myself? Am I still working toward being worthy? Am I still on my path to owning my right, my birthright, to create everything in my space? Or am I already the more? Am I already worthy? Am I already in that right? Am I already who I may still be trying to be? Am I someone who already has that right, has that power, has that authority? And if so, in what way? So I want to give an example. There's somebody I talked to recently, and I could so generalize the example I'm about to give. And this, actually, if I go to it, this was going to be the fifth theme. Why don't I do that? I'll skip my fourth one for the moment. My theme, I think if I had a label for it, it would be a separated self. And I remember years back in my psychological years picking up a book and seeing that title, The Separated Self. Now, I never read the book, actually, but the title spoke volumes to me. I was hoping that I didn't miss anything inside the pages of the book because I got so much out of the title. And what the title says to me is, wow, and this has been my deep experience, and I say this with not just compassion, I say this with real passion. This is something I feel absolutely passionate about, that what happens to many, many, many of us, with exceptions, of course, is that somewhere, either previous to birth, during birth, at birth, after birth, in our childhood, wherever, through our life, some part of us gets wounded, some part of us gets scared, some part of us gets hurt, some part of us gets victimized, some part of us goes into shock, some part of us is abhorred by some facet of the human experience, regardless of what it is. And what that facet of us that gets paralyzed with, again, you name it for you, the fear, the angst, the whatever, it separates. It pulls away from who we are, and it goes and finds a hiding place. Finds a hiding place, often somewhere in the body, or for others, often somewhere in the depths of the psyche, somewhere down in those lower chakras, especially the root chakra. It goes into hiding, and it like buries its head in the sand, and it basically says, "Wake me when it's all over." And on the one hand, we look at that and we say, well, that's totally understandable. That's sort of post-traumatic stress. And, of course, what we know from psychology is post-traumatic stress oftentimes is very, very difficult to heal simply because the facet of us that has undergone the trauma has bailed ship, is gone from the conscious mix of us, and is way in the basement of our being. It's way outside of our conscious reach. And yet, what does it do there? It curls up. It buries its head in the sand. It closes its eyes. And in addition to saying, "Wake me when it's over," it says, I don't want to wake up. I'm here for my own self-protection. I'm here to feel safe and secure. I'm here to survive and ensure my survival. So I'm not here to help you. Now, what that is for so many of us is that's our power. That's our very power to create. That's our very ownership of our right to create. And oftentimes, I watch it when little babies get born. They're like excited to be here often, not always, but often. And it's like, oh, wow, look at this. I bring my light into this world, and I want to be like the light magician and sprinkle my light all over, just like the divine sprinkles divinity all through creation. And I want to create this and that and everything else. And then what I just described happens. So here's the deal. That separated self, way down there in the basement, inadvertently, without intending, just as a side effect that I think is really significant, it creates a veto. It becomes an anchored, not willing to change facet of us that as an energy, as its own sub-presence, basically says, nope, you can't get free until I get free, and I ain't getting free. And there's the bind for many, many of us. So we look at this wonderful, perfect theory we have a right to create, and to create our person, our destiny, our freedom, our fullness, our awakening, etc. And something's in there that we don't even often know about. So I want to share this person I talked to just recently with that. And I had spent a fair amount of time with this person over a few years. And what was in there, that separated self, was buried, buried, buried deep. And we spelunked down there actually several times. And each time I would coax it. I would coax it out. And it would kind of open one eye and open another eye, metaphorically, of course, and look around and say, nope, not ready. And so just in this last time, we spelunked again. And I went in there and I said a whole bunch of things to this post-traumatically stressed, semi-paralyzed, head in sand, vetoing self. Not vetoing because that little self wanted to create havoc, not because it was trying to mess up this person's life, but just for self-protection. That's all. And so I loved it, and I begged it, and I talked to it, and I coaxed it. And finally, I felt like, ooh, something just happened that was different. And while it was still fighting me all the way, saying no, what I felt was, ooh, finally it passed a little marker where even though it was protesting, it wanted to come back. It wanted to join the person. It didn't want to be separate anymore. And so what I did is I just, with the person's permission, I got powerful, I got forceful, and I pulled it out. And I pulled it from that basement, I pulled it into this person's heart. And the instant that it found this person's heart, it opened its eyes wide. And it looked around, and it was as if like in a family reunion or like twins separated at birth. It was like, whoa, what's this? I totally, totally had forgotten that this was my home for those first moments, first weeks, first months of my life. I'd forgotten what it was like here. And so I just held that in this person's heart, and I watched something amazing happen. I watched this frail, weak, waif-looking, emaciated, just victim-looking self. I watched it develop an energy. I watched it start filling out. It went from like about a baseball size shape to more than a football, maybe about 4 footballs wide, and it kept developing. It kept coming home to its power. And so, you know, there's that saying that fear, terror, is only power partly owned. And so as it stepped into its heart, which it had not been into in decades, it all of a sudden kind of woke up to, oh, this is where it's safe. This is where I can come alive. This is where I can come home. And as we left it at the end of that time together, this self was living full time in that heart. We still had a long ways to go, but was well in the process of owning its power. And if I may say, it's right. It's right to be an active, proactive part, a participant in, a partner with this person in creating this person's light and life. And so that ritual, I just felt like I wanted to share, because it may not be your story. Or your story may be like that, but very, very different. Or it may be not like that at all. I don't know. But it's an example of some like invisible influence that just keeps us from that power, keeps us from that right, keeps us from that authority, keeps us from this full, integrated, unified self. And so thank you for letting me just share that. And I shouldn't have told you this was the fifth theme, that I skipped the fourth, because I could have just pretended that was the fourth, and now I'll say it's the fifth, but since I already said it, this is the fourth theme. I know, you thought that was cute. Hang on, I'm going to take a drink. You've all driven me to drink. So the fourth and last theme is, let's just, again, play a little philosophically, but not lock it into the mind. Let's look at this through holographic eyes, the eyes of the hologram, if you will. And I think we all know, or most of us know, that theoretically at least a hologram is, and I'm going to way oversimplify it, not because you don't have a great concept of it, but because I don't have a great concept of it, so I have to oversimplify it. So a hologram is simply that, a source, whether a quantum source, a creative source, or whatever source, projects itself out. And then it moves into a different dimensional field, like, for example, into a three-dimensional field. So let's say divinity projects itself out into a three-dimensional field, and it's like a reflection in a mirror. But the mirror projects itself into you, and into the person next to you, and into me, and into each of the, I don't know how many, 7 billion human beings on the planet, and into each rabbit, and into each bird, and into each tree, and into each grain of sand and dirt and all the rest, and into every star and bit of star dust in the universe. The divinity is projected there, and the one part of that holistic theory that I want to just emphasize is the part that says that the whole is always fully present in every part. You can take every part and split it in half, you've got the whole in each of those halves. You just take that half and split it in half, you've got the whole in all of that. And so if I borrow my theme of divinity projecting itself out into you, you may not be the ultimate divinity, which is not true, by the way, because you are, but bear with me, you may not be that in your perceived self-concept, but in truth, the whole of divinity is in you. The whole of creation is in you. The whole of the universe is in you. The whole of the sun and all the stars is in you. All of that. It's a remarkable thing. And I think the only reason it's a stretch to own that a lot of times is simply because we're surrounded by lots of other perceptions that really have not yet opened to that. So I think what this means for you and me is that to the degree that we're open to not just being the part, the small part, but to the degree that we're open to being the all, the whole, that is in that part, to that degree, back to our title, we have the right, and we are in charge of our destiny. So let me take that. That's the holographic approach. Let me do it from one final perspective, and I apologize for overdoing all the angles here. But let's look at it from a quantum approach. Many of you know, and some of you are in these groups. I'm leading a few year-long mentoring groups in I think what I called quantum-based approaches to growth and expansion and awakening, etc. And just ever so briefly, what the quantum approach is. Of course, the quantum is, we talk about the quantum emptiness, the quantum nothingness, the quantum void. The quantum is simply a reality outside of time and space. In each one of us, there is a quantum depth. There is a non-self. There is a non-existence. There is a quantum zone that is not subject to the laws of creation. It's not about creation, but it's the ocean on which our existence floats, if you will. So it's very much the power behind the throne, and so. So to go to that quantum source, which is the power that created the Big Bang, which is the power that created you, So from outside of time and space, there's an absolute power, absolutely invisible, operating not according to any of the, quote, laws of nature, that just can create something from nothing in a nanosecond, like the Big Bang, and does it all the time in our cellular, subcellular makeup of our being. That's what electrons are, boom, in this empty space of the atom. Out of nothing comes, boom, this electron that just gives life and energy and life force out into our body. And so the same is true of our growth. If we sink into that quantum core, that quantum void, if we, I'm just going to put some words to this, if we let go of our small self, if we let go of an attachment to the sense of who we are, if we do our own version of what tends to be called the death of the ego, and just kind of move into a space where we, side by side with how we exist, where we don't exist, then that quantum void drinks us in. And we cease to exist like we did, and relatively soon, if the timing varies from person to person, relatively soon we get recreated. We get recreated. And, of course, we get recreated differently, different than we were. And so what was there as a small self may no longer be there. And all of a sudden we're this new self. So let me, in fairness, express what I'm seeing happening as we're talking. That I'm approaching this from this angle, that angle. I'm talking background music, verbal commentary. But each of those I wanted to put out here because each one speaks to each of us in a different way. This moment is really about just sort of like the person I just described a few minutes ago, with that little self coming out of the person's core into the person's heart and growing into power. This moment, if there's a gift here, and there's a gift every month, but if there's a gift here, this moment is about whatever way we have kind of settled, if you will, for less. Less of a self-concept, less of a sense of, a grasp of self, less of an ownership of, less of a feeling about self. To whatever degree we've let a part of us separate out and not be part of the ship, if you will, a part of the unity, to whatever degree that's there, there's a gift here. And the gift is from any of these angles, or perhaps from an entirely different angle than we're talking about. The gift is an awakening of this you, this beautiful, precious, adorable, divine, creative, creator, creatress self. This self that just wants to keep waking up and waking up and waking up and waking up to everything that you are, and is using this hour as this excuse, through this focus, this context, this title of our right on this day in 1963 when John F. Kennedy proclaimed a right, that certain peoples have rights. Everybody has a right. And one of the big people I'm a fan of is Eleanor Roosevelt, who, after the Second World War, in the beginning of the United Nations, was single-handedly in charge of the committee to come up with the Universal Declaration of Rights. And if anybody hasn't read that, it is one of the most inspiring documents on this planet. It is eloquent and inspired in terms of the right that we have. And so my version of that for us, not that document, but of every expression of right is we have the right, you and I, we all have the right, and each of us individually has the right to be fully who we are, and part of that fullness is the creative genius that we are, the creative source that we are. And if we're struggling to create something where we are in our life, maybe the solution is open up to a bigger self. Because the bigger self, for example, a light being self can create a lot more than an energy being self, if you will. A higher consciousness self can create a lot more than a lower consciousness self. A divine self can create a lot more than anything that is seeming other than that. And a quantum self, if you will, can create anything from any angle at any moment for any purpose. So I think my conclusion is something like this. I just adore you. I just am privileged to see you as this infinite, amazing self. You're a true gift to this planet, to these people, to everything that you're oriented to. You're just so marvelous, and so often you and so many of us give a lot more to others than to yourself. And if there's a conclusion here, it's that in this moment we've all had the joy, the privilege of coming together and supporting you, you being everything you are, as the grace of this moment, as the magic of this moment, as even maybe the miracle of this moment, just kind of inserts itself and awakens, just awakens the beautiful you into your beauty, the divine you into your divinity, the powerful you into your power, the loving you into your love, the everything that you into the everything that you are. Thank you. Thank you, thank you for being this amazing you. My prayer for you and each of us and all of us is may you always, always know, always experience, always be united with, always embrace, always own, and always celebrate this amazing, amazing self that you are privileged to be. Thank you so, so much. Right, I'm coming to. I would love, capture yourself, Bill. I would love to invite anybody who feels like sharing anything to do that. And if I can bring my head around to it, the way, if you're on the phone, again, I won't do that. You better get off the phone because you might break a joke. See, I didn't do it. If you're on the phone, feel free to just press star 2, and that gives me a little signal that you're doing the equivalent of raising your hand, and I'll call on you. If you're on the web, just find that adorable little box and write whatever you'd like to write. And if you'd like me to acknowledge your name, then feel free to put that name. And wonderful, Amelia from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I love the name of that town. This message was just awesome. Like the beautiful pictures from Donna, thanks to you both. And Hannah from the East Coast of the United States says, this is before, I guess. I'm so looking forward to tonight. Your support last week made a world of difference. Oh, okay, we thank you. That's a little personal, so much thanks. Anyway, sorry, I started to read that before I actually read it. If there's anybody on the phone who would like to share anything, feel free. I have no hands up at the moment, but I'm open to them if they are there. I acknowledge once again and always that oftentimes coming from an experience like we've just had, it's a bit challenging to do what I've forced myself to do here, which is to come into a place where I can actually think. So I don't see anybody raising her or his hands. There's nobody else on the web who's writing anything. So I tell you what we'll do. Lucky you, I'll talk for a couple more minutes and then we'll conclude this precious time. Let's have another blessing. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to invite each one of us to be the blesser, not just the receiver of the blessing, and yes, be the receiver of the blessing as well, but be also, if you will, to whatever degree you feel moved to do it, be the blesser, be the source of the blessing. Be the lover of you, whether you picture that as a divine lover or just a higher self lover or an angelic lover or whatever lover you want to picture, or you don't even need to picture anything. But just be that source. Let yourself just float into that source right now. And let yourself know in this moment that, ooh, I am both the source and the object of this blessing. I am both the giver and the receiver of this blessing. I am both the originator and the drinker-inner of this blessing. I am the power behind the expression of this blessing, and I am the power that receives this blessing. I am one and the same. I am the part and the all, just like I am the drop of water in the ocean, and I am the entire ocean. I am the everything, and I am the recipient of the gifts of the everything. So right here, right now, you as that, we as that, I as that, that source, that infinite resource of all blessings, that potential rich, infinite phenomenon that can give anything in any moment. And I'm going to put into words a blessing, but I really want you in your own way, perhaps silently, to express your blessing to yourself. And I want to invite you, if you feel like it, be brave. There's no need to be humble or meek or mild here. Be brave and look at what you genuinely know to be the blessing that you deserve, the blessing that is here. Back to the theme of your right to create your destiny, your right to create this blessing, this gift, in this moment for yourself. And so you be with that. Express it in your own way. Feel free to absolutely ignore my words unless you feel like listening. And so I'm going to say Bill Bauman, but you can say your own name, and that would be wonderful to say it. I, Bill Bauman, in the vastness of my being, in the totality of my presence, in the endlessness of my infinity, in the divinity of my being, in the beyond time and space quantum amazingness of my non-being, in my capacity to create, which is endless and infinite, I look at this person that is the three-dimensional quality of me, this human presence that is the human duality-based expression of me. I look at this person, this self, and I love this self. I love this me. And in this very moment, I give me this unique gift, this blessing, this expression of grace, this divine outpouring, this vehement, love-filled, generous gift of, and then fill in that blank. Gift of what is just perfect, what is just right, right here, right now. And then just as a final touch, shift your focus to the receiver that you are, the human facet of this that you are, and I'm going to do these words, insert your own name again, I, Bill Bauman, in the humanness of my being, drink in, receive, accept, own, claim, give permission for, and open fully and generously to the receptivity of this gift, this blessing, into my human fabric, where this gift takes root and grows like a plant from this day forward. Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you. You and every one of us here. Just while that's digesting, we're going to meet again in a month on Thursday, July 9th. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking really forward to it. Again, I thank you so much for being you. I apologize for taking us a couple of minutes over our time. In whatever way each of us is able, as we stop, I'm going to once again just invite us to say, I don't know, goodbye or I love you or just whatever way you want to put into words, and all words are incomplete in this way. Your total support of each and every one of us, especially for this next month. Again, not just if you're on the phone, but on the web and visiting us later. Thank you so much. I think we're here. I think I've unmuted us. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Woo! Goodbye. I'll look forward to next month.